This week's episode of Greetings from Storybrooke is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
Into the woods, it's time to go. I hate to leave, I have to, though. Into the woods, it's time, and so I must begin my journey. Into the woods and through the trees to where I am expected, ma'am. Into the woods to grandmother's house.
Gallivant.
The way is clear, house.
Gallivant.
The way is clear, the light is good. I have no fear, nor no one should.
To ask it, but do you have a basket?
Gallivant.
Greetings from Storybrooke. I'm Bill Meeks.
And I'm Anne-Marie DeSimone.
And this is... The festival, I wish to go to the festival, to dance before the prince. Ha, 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 do. We also talk about ABC's hit series, Once Upon a Time, but not tonight.
Nope, not tonight.
Tonight, it's all about other fairy tale media stuff that's been going on lately. We're talking
such
about...
Such as Into the Woods.
Into the Woods.
Into the Woods.
Into the Woods and Out of the Woods and Home before technical difficulties, which we had. And we're also talking about ABC's Gallivant.
Gallivant!
But it's great to see you guys. First episode of the new year.
Happy 2015.
Happy 2015.
Cheers
for sure.
To y'all.
And before we get started talking with the main discussion topics, Gallivant.
Gallivant.
Gallivant. I've been saying it weird. All the time. Yeah, technically, we're recording this Sunday night. It's airing right now. We're good.
Your Facebook's like, I started a live stream at YouTube.
I did. I wanted to point out our wonderful Rumpelstiltskin cutout that Jasmine sent us a couple weeks ago. We showed it off on the Universe Box planning session, but I wanted to show it off on Greetings too. So there it is, and it's wearing my Beatles wig. A backstage pass from a Bare Naked Ladies concert, which you can't see because the monitor's blocking it.
And a Pinocchio.
And a little Pinocchio that I believe someone who sent us something new sent us a while back. But we'll talk about that in a couple minutes. But I guess we should get started talking about Gallivant.
Gallivant.
Gallivant first.
Gallivant.
Gallivant. Gallivant. There's going to be a lot of singing this episode.
There's going to be a lot of singing. Sorry. A lot of singing.
Okay, Anne-Marie, why don't you start us off with the rhyming episode summary? Rhyming episode summary.
Ba-dum-bum.
Go. Rhyming episodes.
We I don't want have to go to the festival.
To dance before the prince.
Ha, ha, ha.
No, we don't actually have a rhyming episode summary tonight. But I guess
tonight.
We'll get started with the main. The third and fourth episodes are airing tonight, but we watched the first two episodes.
Yeesh.
A couple times, actually. It's not going to be as in-depth of a discussion as usual, but I guess we'll start off like normal. Anne-Marie, what did you think of Gallivant overall?
Not really my cup of tea.
Why is that?
You know, maybe I'm just not in the mood for it at this moment because there's been so much like serious shenanigans going on and all that. But I have to be in a certain mood for this kind of humor.
Drunk?
Sometimes. Frequently. Yeah. Yes. Yes. With pizza. And I'm not there. Mm-hmm. So maybe that was the problem. Maybe I just needed to drink more when watching it. I mean, it's catchy.
Mm-hmm.
It's catchy. We may have just covered my 2 points, but yeah.
But I
can see why people are enjoying it.
Mm-hmm. Like I enjoyed a lot of aspects of it. I didn't think it added up to something that I'm super excited about yet. But
right.
There were things I liked about it and things I didn't. I guess I'll start off with my main the thing I noticed about it. The strongest thing I found in the show.
Here.
And sorry if I sound a little flustered. I just had some really terrible troubles with
the
technical
side.
The computer
was not so nice. But let's not talk about it. Yeah. Otherwise, it'll come back.
Let's let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
Let it go.
This is going to be the bad musical edition of Greetings from Storybook.
Sorry, y'all.
No, but something I noticed about this, and it's kind of counter to the way fairy tale characters are sort of portrayed and, you know, just in general. But nobody has an honest relationship with another human being on this show ever. Except for maybe Gallivant and Gallivant and his assistant. I forget the assistant's name.
Assistant guy.
But there's no honest relationship. It seems like every relationship more or less is based on lies. First off, the originating relationship between Gallivant and his lady fair. Really, she wants power. She wasn't like in love with him.
She seemed like she was.
Like, I think I got the impression that she was more in love with his power.
Well, yes, I see that.
Because, you know, he was the big hero. He was Gallivant.
Gallivant.
But and also the king and Gallivant's lady, again, I forget the character's name. I should have written it down. But their relationship is based on a lie too. She's basically just making a fool of him without him even realizing it. Like, did you notice that too?
I was responding to something.
I know that. I was pulling you back.
I'm here. Did I notice what?
You notice that
the lack of real relationships and how they were all crazy?
What did you think of the dynamic with the king and his wife, the queen, and kind of her making a fool out of him and everything?
It was...
Because it was obvious she was – well, I mean, it's even shown on screen. She was sleeping with the court jester and everything.
But then, like, he goes to be like, all manly and, like, take it over. And I don't know. I don't like the cheating thing, so I don't find that funny.
Yeah.
So
Well, I mean,
there's that.
To a degree, the king, the evil king, is supposed to come off as a bit of a buffoon. It reminded me a little of like King John from the old Disney Robin Hood, who's always sucking his thumb and everything.
So
it makes sense that he's like – he's being cuckolded and he doesn't even realize it.
And it's literally right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of – wasn't it Robin Hood Men in Tights? It had this very same feel.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like that movie. Maybe I was
You know, one thing in the first episode especially, and it kind of it got better in the second episode, but I really didn't like the king's big number right after she leaves with the jester either. Like,
no.
I don't know. The actor's fine enough, and he's doing a decent job. He's playing the character as he should be played.
Yeah, he's doing what he's supposed to.
But I don't know. It just his big introductory number didn't really seem all that impressive to me. And it didn't seem like the rest of the cast in the show
like they're
into
in it. No, they're like, I'm getting paid.
They were cogs in a machine, not artists on a stage sort of thing. It felt like a little bit. But again, that improved the second episode. But yeah, no honest relationships really. And it like I said, it's an interesting counterpoint just because in most traditional tales like this, including Once Upon a Time, all the emotions, whether they're positive or negative, hate, jealousy, love, they all burn bright and true and honest. So it's kind of interesting to see this kind of world portrayed where nobody really is honest with any other characters.
No, not at all. So, Patty wants to submit requests for our singing to sing Princess Isabel.
I don't remember. What her song went like. Yeah. My name is Princess Isabel. I don't look much like Belle, but I would like to tell Gallivant a lie.
Gallivant!
Yeah, and that's actually another one I wanted to mention too, is Isabella is working behind Gallivant's back with the king. You know, she's like a secret agent for the king.
Yeah.
Did you miss that?
Sorry.
It's fine.
I missed that a little bit.
You got the jokes.
I got some of the jokes, which leads to the point that I already said. This is not really my kind of comedy.
Mm-hmm. It's very broad. A lot of testicle humor.
I know, and I'm really not big in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a time, there's a place. I don't think Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Well, I mean,
for me.
Like, I mean, even kids' cartoons have those kind of jokes. There's a time and a place, but it's not 10 times in one episode, you know?
Like, you know, we can use a stray joke, but...
Yeah.
You know, there are the good one-liners. There were some funny ones. I can't think of them off the top of my head, but they were there.
Yeah.
But the music was catchy. I was humming it for the next 5 minutes until the next song came on.
Especially that main theme.
Some
of the humor I did really enjoy, though, was all of the, like, the meta humor, kind of like the internal commentary on the format and everything. A couple items I wanted to point out was right after Isabella and Galavant and his assistant all set out on their journey, they're doing a song. And Galavant singing for a big majority of it. And then she just tries to, like, I better not tell him I'm working for the king. And then Galavant hears it. So it's kind of like she tries to sing her emotions and then he hears it immediately. Because, you know, a lot of times in those scenes, people are singing things that
no one else can somehow hear.
Or other characters shouldn't know at that point. And it was just funny to have him hear it. And I also really loved... like right at the end of that number, actually, he you know, ends with a big long note, like, and he says, you know, and then he says, that's a really long song, and falls down. So I thought that was funny. I also kind of wanted to see how long I could hold that. I probably could have gone twice as long as that, but I figured it might be getting annoying.
Yeah, no, not at all.
No, and I also really loved the hateful love song in episode 2, where, like, you're putrid and, like, I love how you make me hate life and all, and you're growing on me like mold.
Yes, that was so weird.
And it was kind of like a duet with, like, the two different couples going back and forth.
Yeah.
And it was actually probably the most complex song out of the two episodes we watched, for sure.
I don't know things like music. I just go, hey, that's catchy. Yeah.
But you kind of enjoyed that episode, the second episode, right?
Yes. The joust scene, maybe I just enjoyed it because it really, really reminded me of A Knight's Tale. With the whole practicing, and he's getting entered for this because they need him to be entered for it. Yes.
A Knight's Tale, the first movie I ever went to see in the theater that put me to sleep.
Really?
I don't know. It just didn't grab me. It just didn't grab me.
Well, Heath Ledger.
I think it was like the modern day music kind of threw me off.
Which apparently I typed Health Ledger into the doc.
Health Ledger. That's actually his real name.
Oh, Heath Ledger.
It's ironic.
Rest in peace. Okay, other things from that. John Stamos, hearts. Big hearts. There it is.
You got to love Stamos.
You got to love Stamos. There was no Greek yogurt to be seen, so that was pretty nice.
You can't go wrong with Stamos.
Nope. Also, is it just me, or does the big priceless jewel look like the Sims jewel?
Yes,
and it was, like, kind of lit up a little.
Did you know we speak Simlish?
But yeah, like, in that the first show or the first episode, it didn't really, you know, it had a little bit of a darker emerald look, but when she the assistant, because we can't remember his name, hands the jewel over, it had like this glow going through it. I was like, it's the Sims.
Yeah, I thought it was kind of weird too that, like, they seemed to be kind of careless with that overall. Like they were just throwing it around like a paperweight when it was supposedly this great precious item. It's kind of like the MacGuffin almost of it for her character, anyway.
Right?
You know, Isabella's character. But overall, I guess that's probably. Do you have anything else you want to say about Galavant?
I do not anticipate watching the rest of the series.
Let's see here.
See, you at least have notes. I mean, it's only about a quarter of a page, but you at least have notes.
Two other notes I had was that Isabella didn't look very much like her parents at all.
Yes!
Which I thought was kind of weird, but actually might be kind of the joke, too. Or it might be a plot point. Who knows?
Maybe
she's adopted. I was also kind of curious how Galavant paid his squire, since he was just the town drunkard by the time they picked up the story a year later.
I thought
it was a little weird. I guess we should do one arbitrary scale for each piece of media we're talking about. So, okay, let's see here.
Sim jewels.
Out of 532 balls, how many balls do you give these two episodes of Galavant?
I just give it a guffaw.
You can give it a guffaw.
I'm just 200.
200? Why?
It wasn't holding me.
Let me ask you this: can you do a separate rating, arbitrary scale for the first episode and the second episode?
No, I cannot.
Fair enough. I would have cut to a close up of you here, but your camera's not working.
My camera's broken.
That was part of the technical issues. Okay, so let's see.
That's all I got.
So what do I think of it?
Yes, what do you think of it? I was getting there.
Okay, out of 532 balls, I will give it. I'll give it like 350 balls.
You're giving it 350 balls?
Yeah, it was decent. Like, if I had, obviously, like, we'll probably go ahead and watch the episodes that are on tonight, see if it got any, because it got way better in the second episode, I thought.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's potential there. Maybe by the end of the series, it could be like, it could end up bringing it home. You know, maybe it's just the breakup part of it. Or breaking it up. That's messing with the rhythm. Maybe. Who knows?
Possibly.
We'll see. Okay, we have some gifts. Yay! Unfortunately, I don't have the graphic because of the technical issues.
What graphic?
To show you guys the P.O. box. But I'll go ahead and let you know here. We did get a P.O. box, and we're trying we have these poster holders back that we're going to try over the course of the next half season.
Okay.
To fill up with stuff to hang up behind
us. Big poster.
Yep, big poster. So any
I should probably take it out of the plastic wrap.
Any notes, anything flat that we can throw in there.
Pictures, drawings, that we can paste knitting. In there.
Just
it's flat.
Yeah,
knitting.
You can just send them. And this is addresses on the website at greetingsfromstorybrook.com too. It's Greetings from Storybrook, P.O. Box 2641, Ackworth, Georgia, 30102. Again, that's P.O. Box 2641, Ackworth, ACWORTH, Georgia, 30102. And we'd love to get it. And we got some from Patty this week.
Patty, who gave Gallivant 425.6 balls.
I
don't want to know about .6 of a ball.
Yeah.
Nope.
I'd have to ask Tom Green about that one.
Okay. All right. Oh, Jasmine.
Oh, is Jasmine in there?
I tuned in late because I was watching the crummy Golden Globes. WTF is Bill wearing? This is much better than that awful awards show.
Oh, I'm wearing like, what is this? Like
it's
little
a
little raccoon, a wolf hat.
It's a wolf.
I am Wolfkin.
No.
You want to show
it? Yeah, okay. So, well, since Jasmine's like, hi, Jasmine, look, he's still here.
We showed off your cutout earlier.
Your
Rumple cutoff. Cutout?
Oh, I don't have my camera.
We need to put cutoffs on Rumple.
So, Patty sent us a very small and perfect sorcerer's hat.
Yeah, I'll have to show it.
So we now have control of the sorcerer's hat, so everything is okay.
Once the stars align and the seventh seal, and I get the guy who lent me a dollar for a sandwich when I was 14 and bumming money outside of Respect's Food Mart.
You can add it to your pile of goodies.
Yes, I am, along with the Gotham badge and everything.
Then...
Once Upon a Time 2015 calendar.
Which I think I'm totally going to have to do like a countdown in it to the first episode.
And we are going to we're definitely going to hang it up back here along with the posters and stuff.
Yeah, it'll be out.
What was Patty's favorite? Actually, why don't you go ahead and read the note from Patty. Okay. Go ahead and read the note from Patty.
Hold on, I'm getting
your favorite
getting the note. My next... Ha! They want us to be the host for the Golden Globes next year. I don't know if they'll...
Hashtag Bill and Anne-Marie for GG.
Oh, Gigi. Okay. It is true that Mr. Gold no longer has the sorcerer's hat, but at least you guys have some form of it. Sincerely, Patty. P.S. I hope you enjoy the calendar. My favorite character is August, even though my birthday is July.
Do you remember what month August was?
Yes.
It's probably on the back here, isn't it?
Well, I was just about to say it's my month. No, it's Emma. It's one of Emma's.
Oh, I thought I was thinking August, like the character.
There's no character August, unfortunately.
Yeah, I'm trying to
She was being punny.
Yeah, unfortunately, it got a little wrinkled in shipping, but that'll be okay.
That's okay.
August is Belle, actually.
Oh, it was Belle?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. August is Belle. Because I was like,
August
yay,
is Belle.
My birthday's awesome.
But thank you so much, Patty. We really appreciate it. We'll get that calendar hung up by the next time we do an episode, and we'll put the note in the thing, and P.O. Box 2641, Ackworth, Georgia, 30102. If you want to send us some stuff. Just
send
a letter.
We like things.
A little drawing of a once character.
I want a doodle. Someone doodle something
If there are artists out there who listen to us, we'd love a little sketch of us. Here, we'll pose for it. I'm sure the audio listeners love that. Okay, and we also wanted to plug, we have coming up in a couple weeks, I think it's next week.
What is?
I believe the What If.
Next? Wait, What If?
Yeah.
No, next week is the first episode.
The first What If episode, right?
What If?
Yeah, I believe so. And if I'm wrong on this.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, sorry.
If you guys know Hope, she's a listener. She writes in all the time. Always in the chat room when she can be and everything.
Yep.
She proposed to us to cover the hiatus and everything, to do a what if episode of the show, or three actually. We're going to do three before Ones comes back.
I missed that memo.
Where we take various plot points and things that have happened in the show and ask what if, and kind of speculate on what would have happened if X had happened in the series. Like, I don't know, what if Bay had become the new Dark One, for example? You know, but you know, just like big kind of like world shaking ideas like that. And it's just going to be a fun. We'll probably have some magic juice. It'll be a good time. But I believe it is October 19th next
October. October.
Or October. What
How
am I talking
January?
About?
Yes, yeah,
January. January 19th at 8:30 p.m. EST. We'll have links out on the social medias to come join us in the chat room. Absolutely. Or you can go to youtube.universebox.com and subscribe.
Which is where you might be watching us.
Yeah,
right
you might be watching
now.
Us right now. And come join
Rumor
us for that episode.
Rumor has it four people are watching.
And we're going to get some, whatchamacallit, commentary is out in
there
the hiatus
go.
Too.
Oh, are we? Cool.
Yeah, we just need to sit down and record two weeks in a row when we should be good, actually. Okay, so now let's go into the woods.
Into the woods.
Into the woods.
Into the woods.
I wish
to go to the festival.
I wish, I hope, I think, I know. Into the woods.
He knows the words better. I've only seen it.
The thing is, I don't know if I've ever mentioned this on the show before. I used to work. I spent a summer living at a theater that ran out of a barn called the Brook Hills Playhouse. And the first show we did
Shout
that
out.
Summer was called Into the Woods. If you've heard of it.
Yeah.
But no, a really great show. But I heard it like a zillion times because I was crew. And I was also in the show. I had a cameo I'll do my line from the show.
Okay, let's hear it.
I was the
fact
baby.
That you remember the – oh.
I stood backstage and held a microphone to do the baby. So I'll give you guys my baby impression. I don't think I've ever done this on the show before.
You haven't.
Okay. And I would do that every night a few times when in the script it called for a baby. So I have a special love for this show.
He does have a special love for this show.
Anne-Marie, what did you think of the movie overall?
I liked it. Into the Woods isn't my favorite show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. When I saw it in high school, it just sort of was like, I was like, what's going on here? But it was a high school production. So there's that. And we did just go see this.
Yeah,
like, we 2 months ago.
Yeah, we saw a version of this.
Kennesaw State.
Yeah, and it was pretty good.
I thought it was a really good stage version.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, the movie was good, too. I just, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Yeah, you've always felt that
you know
it kind
what
of,
I know.
you've always felt that it kind of falls apart in the second act. And
I'm one of those people that just wants the happy ending.
Mm-hmm.
I like a happy ending.
Right there.
I really could use the movie to end right there.
Yeah, you want the appetizer. You don't want the meat and potatoes kind.
I mean, I'm okay with some meat and potatoes. If we could mix in the meat and the potatoes with the appetizer, I guess
that'd be good.
I don't know. I'm very
okay. But let's see.
What did you think about it?
I liked it. I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. Again, Act Two like is slow. Even though I really like the message of Act Two and the presentation of Act Two and a lot of the songs in Act Two,
right?
Act Two is just slow, especially after what they cut in this version. But the duet between the father and the son, after that, it like glacial pace. But
right.
At the same time, Sondheim has a lot of thematic dialogue he has to get out in songs he has to get out to kind of tie everything up there before they kill the giant too. So I mean, it's understandable, but I mean, overall I liked it. I thought everyone was well cast with the exception.
Yes.
A lot of people have been like going gaga over Meryl Streep in this. Like, more like Meryl Week.
Oh,
yeah.
Such a bad joke.
I liked her well enough. She did a fine job. She did as good as I've ever seen Meryl Streep do. And I like Meryl Streep.
I love Meryl Streep.
But I didn't think she was a very good witch overall. Like, she did fine, but she wasn't this big revelation like a lot of people were saying.
No, it was definitely not like the end all be all. She wasn't the best performer of the show.
Oh, definitely not.
By any stretch.
Definitely not.
And I mean, well, I'll let you – you sort of pointed it out.
Oh, okay.
About the costume.
Yeah, but I'll let you take that in a second. But I've just, you know, I've seen several versions of this show now and several taped versions of this show and everything. And honestly, like that college production we went to, I thought The Witch was better.
Was a lot better.
And back at Brook Hills, back when I was like 12 or whatever.
Or 19, whatever.
But, you know, I thought that witch was better too, and she wasn't that good.
Like, now I'm curious who it was because I'm sure I know them.
Well, actually, I'll tell
you. Leave it offline. Keep it offline. Okay, and the costuming. Mm-hmm. This is another point where actually that Kennesaw did a lot better, I think, than the movie. Mm-hmm. The transformation between Ugly Witch and Pretty Witch.
Yeah.
You could see it. You could see a clear difference in the stage show.
Even though it still had the same feel like it's supposed to.
Right,
you
it
know?
Should. But maybe it was the hair, because that character had like a head thing on as the evil witch and then not. But maybe it's because they kept her hair blue or whatever. Was it blue?
Yeah.
Or gray? Like it was it looked like really
blue,
dark.
It looked like blue cotton candy or something.
It didn't work for me. It just stayed too similar.
Like, even when she was the pretty witch, like, she looked like something you'd find in an attic. You know? Just, like, dusty and cobwebby.
Creepy, like a...
Yeah.
Like a marionette. That's the word. Yes. That's exactly what she looked like, was a marionette witch.
And, I mean, even her vocal performance was fine and everything else. Like this is no... If Meryl Streep is listening, because I know she's a listener to this podcast, we're not slamming you, Meryl.
We love you, Meryl.
Especially in adaptation, you were great.
But this was not your
best work.
This wasn't your best work.
But then again, everyone else is telling her it's her best work, so maybe it is.
Maybe it is.
We just don't know anything.
No. Anna Kendrick, however, she was awesome.
You liked Anna Kendrick,
I love Anna Kendrick. Mm-hmm. I love her anyway.
This was my first time seeing her in anything.
Yeah, this was really your first exposure to her.
She was good.
She was good.
Yeah, like actually on the steps of the palace, especially with the staging of it and everything.
It was really good.
Yeah, like it was probably my favorite version of that song, which is one of my favorite songs in the show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
On the steps of the palace. That was off key.
Yes.
Terribly off key.
Yes, but no, I just, I thought she did really good. At all points of it, like
One thing with her is I didn't like a lot of times when I see this show, I get the impression, like I get the clear impression that Cinderella is very happy ending up with the baker, like romantically.
Mm-hmm.
Like any version I've seen made that pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, I really didn't feel it. I didn't really I felt like she was going to be his nanny. You know, I didn't feel like they were going to be husband and wife like I do. I've felt most of the stage versions.
I can see that. I can see that. Yeah.
You know, that was a little weird.
That's a little weird.
But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of changes between this one and the stage version. Like for example, this was like what's that?
Patty wants to see me squeal Meryl Streep again. I don't even remember squealing. I tend to do things like that, like Meryl.
But one of the big things, that got under my skin with Disney's take on Into the Woods is I get really upset about this.
Really
no,
bad.
They completely cut the narrator part out of
it. Yeah, you love the narrator.
And they cut the part of the baker's dad almost completely out.
Right.
And one, the narrator, I think, really works well because when the narrator dies, it's a very – like even more than – so then – especially I guess with the movie because you don't have the intermission.
Right.
It's a very clear signal. Okay, we're not in happy fairy tale land anymore.
Right.
We're in real world. Everyone dies and everyone's horrible to one another kind of thing.
Right.
And it's very – when the narrator goes away, you're like, okay, no one's in control of this story anymore.
Right.
And it just kind of fell flat thematically for me. And also what's the duet that they do? No More. But no more crying. I think that musical theme begins in this with the father and the son, and they played a little bit of it like in the background. But I really miss that song too, because like honestly, when I was stage crew for this show, after that song, I pretty much checked out. Like I would always, because I really liked the actors who were playing those parts. I would sit back in the light booth and watch that song, and then I'd go down to the lobby and get the popcorn and stuff ready for everyone coming out of the show. But I had to see that song. So it was kind of sad for me to – for the narrator not to be there. Although when we went to see the college version, they did a really weird thing with the narrator. He was like this reporter in like Vietnam or something.
I actually and really liked him.
It was like – it was one of those very kind of like esoteric theater things where they had like a 500-word essay in the program explaining
everything. Yeah, and we weren't reading that.
Yeah, but it was just interesting. Mm-hmm. But And I also, you know, Johnny Depp as the wolf was fine. I kind of hate that they didn't do the double casting with the prince because that kind of is supposed to say something thematically. But, you know, I can live without that. I can understand. They
wanted to get Johnny Depp.
With a name like Johnny Depp or Chris Pine, it would get confusing really quick, right? But I also didn't need to see a big furry phallus or anything on the wolf. But I thought Johnny Depp kind of played it safe. And
it's still Disney.
Well, I know. I'll get there. But
oh, sorry.
No, I mean, it felt pretty safe. And I know they had to do it because it's Disney and the actress they have playing Red is like age appropriate, where usually it's, you know, someone who's at least 17 or 18.
Yeah, she definitely wasn't.
She was like legit 14. Like 13 or 14, something like that. And so I can understand why they had to pull back on it a little bit. But not having the double casting and having to pull back that much on it, it's almost not worth being there because it just seems bad. Mm-hmm. Like it just seems creepy, and that's it. Where it's saying something in the show, and you know, there's some implied like sexual aggression from the wolf in that scene in mm-hmm. the stage play, which really comes back in a lot of Red's lyrics later on in the show. Like I learned things there are many mm-hmm. yep, that many I never thought things. To explore. Mm-hmm. Nice doesn't mean good or something, yeah. You know, all that kind of stuff. And it kind of falls flat because it's not as overt. And mm-hmm. also the scene in Granny's house I thought was very weak because they didn't show any of the devouring or anything. They didn't show any of the rescue, really.
No.
You know, so it kind of just undercut it a little bit for me.
I can see that. Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And the one other big change I kind of had a little bit of a problem with was the fact that Rapunzel – and I think you kind of dozed off for a minute.
That didn't happen.
Rapunzel and her prince survive. They ride off into the sunset together, which always – it like the fact that the baker there's this whole subplot where the baker has this sister out there that he doesn't know about,
right? Oh, so we didn't get yes, I fell asleep.
Yeah, but
we didn't get to that.
Well, the thing is, in the stage show, the baker never even finds out about it, like, and that's kind of the point, that, you know, sometimes there are things that are very important in your life that just blow you by because you're too busy with other stuff. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Rapunzel rides off into the sunset and she's still out there means that eventually the baker could find her, which kind of undercuts that message that, you know, sometimes while you're concentrating on what's really important to you in the moment, you're going to miss out on the bigger, broader story that might have brought you even more happiness, sort of thing.
Okay.
So I kind of wish they had, you know, killed her off, had the giantess step on her. But, you know, overall, nothing too big, nothing earth-shattering. If I was Stephen Sondheim, I'd be okay having my name on this, you know, more or less.
Okay, so we already talked about mine a little bit, mm-hmm. but one other thing that thing that I could bring up is it weird that I wanted the blinding to be a little more severe? The blinding felt very gentle.
No, it should be vicious.
Yeah, it wasn't vicious. Mm-hmm. It didn't, you know, in a movie you can get so close and do so much.
Yeah, where in a stage play you just have to kind of imply it.
Right, but it was more believable in that play.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like I could see it more and we weren't close.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't in the front couple rows. So
Go ahead.
To go to the festival.
I wish.
Stop it! That song will not be out of my head for a month. Yeah, no, I wanted, like, the things like that, and, well I'm just going to pull my other point up, that I really liked a lot of the minor characters, mm-hmm. like the wicked stepmother and stepsisters.
Oh, yeah, that was
they
great.
Were
that was
awesome.
The lady from Just Shoot Me, wasn't it?
No, it's not Just Shoot Me. I don't remember what show it was. No More Into the Woods?
No, don't worry about what I'm typing.
What is he doing over there? No More. Anyway, I thought they were awesome. I really, really enjoyed the foot cutting scene. Apparently, I just wanted gruesome in this.
Yeah, because it felt a little more gruesome, even though they didn't really show
anything. They didn't show it, but you could sense it more, mm-hmm. What are you doing?
I'm looking at lyrics.
Stop looking at lyrics. Oh, go ahead.
No more riddles. No more jest. No more curses you can't undo. Left by fathers you never knew. No more quest. Mm-hmm. No more feelings. Mm-hmm. Time to shut the door. Mm-hmm. Just no more. Go ahead.
That's pretty much all I got.
I just had to hear it, make sure I got it right. That's a pretty weak clap.
Okay.
It was a pretty weak performance, too, so.
Sorry, guys.
Okay,
he
sorry.
He wanted a good clap.
Sorry to interrupt you.
I got nothing. I was done. It's pretty much the same.
Well, you said this was the musical episode, so I figured.
Oh, it's the musical.
Why don't you pull up some lyrics while I talk?
You don't want. Nobody wants that.
Okay. Actually, speaking of music, though, yeah. I just wanted to say I think they did a great job with the music all around. There were some like key changes and stuff like that, but I mean, you adapt to the singers you have, you know. But everyone was very accurate, and their phrasing was very precise and strict and good, which is Sondheim. You have to be, because mm-hmm. Sondheim is like these. It's like an Einsteinian equation mm-hmm. of like. Music, you know, it's very complicated. You have to get all the beats right and everything, and they did just a beautiful job.
This is where it really shows that I have zero musical talent whatsoever. I don't say none of this. I'm just like, oh, pretty song.
Well, to be fair, I only have 4 musical talent, so
come with me
out of 100. But anyway,
got -20.
No, but I also enjoyed that you heard not only snippets of songs that got cut, but snippets of songs from other Sondheim musicals as interstitial music.
Oh, yeah?
Which I thought was really cool. And a lot of the times, like, I forget the specific example from A Little Night Music, but it was very fitting with the scene they were in, too. So I thought that was nice. And, you know, they made sure to serve the Sondheim theater geeks. Let's see. I also one more big complaint I had about the movie was that I thought it was a big mistake to actually show the Lady Giant. Cause,
felt weird.
Yeah, in every stage play I've ever seen, it's always been – what is that? Where they put the shadowed light
– on the scrim?
Gobo or
– Yeah, it's a gobo.
Yeah.
I love gobos.
They have a gobo or it's some sort of just like implication or they just flash the lights have the voice over, and they don't actually show, they very rarely show anything of the giant. Maybe the feet, but that's about it. But this, not only did you get the feet and the hands and the shadow, but you also got a full facial shot of the Lady Giant right as they were killing her.
Right.
And I thought, I don't know, I've always pictured the giant a certain way, and it was way better than what was in the movie. But I'm pretty sure that's true for everybody. Because, I mean, across the board, what you can imagine is going to be way better than what anyone can come up with.
Yeah.
Because you don't have budget limitations or technology limitations.
Right.
But, I thought that was a little bit of a mistake. But
a little bit.
Overall, pretty close to the stage play, I thought.
Agony.
Minus everything I've said for the past half hour.
Patty thinks you can actually sing pretty good, and you should sing Agony.
Agony?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, why don't you do your last point? I'll pull up some Agony lyrics.
I don't have one. I already talked about it.
Did you? Think of something. What did you think of the baker, James Corden, who's probably never going to act again because he's on the Late Late Show now?
Oh, is he?
Yeah, he's taking over for Craig Kilborn.
Oh.
Or not Craig Kilborn.
Whoa.
Hello, 20 years ago or something. Drew Carey show guy.
Craig Ferguson?
Craig Ferguson. That's it.
Drew Carey.
Craig Kilborn. Nice.
I liked him, actually. I don't know. I'm not huge on the baker to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh, you don't like the baker?
I don't know.
I like him a whole lot better than the baker's wife. I'll tell you that much.
Maybe. Okay. See, I really like the baker's wife in the stage show that we saw.
Mm-hmm. Well, like
she was really good. And she – okay, mm-hmm. to me, she looked like a baker's wife.
Yeah.
Where Emily Blunt did not quite look like a baker's
wife.
I
actually thought it was the lady from Titanic almost the entire movie.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. And she would love you for thinking that she was that young. There's like a 10-year age difference.
See, well, like the baker's wife is always like next to the witch. It's the biggest female role in the show, and probably the most challenging role in the show
for an
actor or actress, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but I've always kind of glom because like the thing is, the baker's wife, you can always appreciate her talent, but the way the character goes right at the end is kind of like.
Yeah.
But the baker, I think you can kind of root for the baker throughout.
Well, yeah, you do.
I mean, he's a little wishy-washy in the first act, but he comes around. Yeah. He rallies, you know. Mm-hmm. Did I abuse her, show her disdain? Why did she run from me? If I should lose her, how shall I regain that heart she has won from me? Agony beyond power of speech.
Oh.
When the one that you want is the only thing out of your reach. Okay, there you go, Patty. You're welcome.
All I got.
Okay.
And I shouldn't have done that.
Out of 17 cows as white as milk, how many cows as white as milk do you give the movie adaptation of Into the Woods?
13 and a half.
Why?
I really did like it. I love a musical. They make me happy. I just can't it just end at the happy part.
It can when you watch it on home video. You can just hit stop.
And it will.
Yeah, that's actually a big problem when they do stage versions of this show. And I noticed this when I was working at Brook Hills, too, is a lot of people leave at intermission.
Why?
Because they think it's over.
What is wrong with people?
Well, that's like the natural stopping point for 99% of stories, especially fairy tale stories, you know? Like, and if you leave at that point, you're like, oh, it was just kind of like this dark, twisted mashup of all the fairy tales. That was cool. But you don't realize how dark and twisted it is until you get to the second. How many? 17 cows as white as milk?
That's what you said, yeah.
I'll give it 15.
You're going to give 15?
Yeah, I thought it was really well done. And I mean, it's the only version of Into the Woods we're probably going to get for 20 years. So
one would hope. Let's honestly just hope. Mm-hmm. Because let's be creative, Hollywood. Come on.
But honestly, if I'm in an Into the Woods mood, I'm probably going to sit down with the Bernadette Peters version.
Oh my gosh, the amount of the amount of times I've heard
to see it.
Bernadette Peters. I'm like,
although Felicia Rashad, Claire Huxtable from The Cosby Show, I guess she stepped in for Bernadette because it's her with the rest of the cast from the Bernadette Peters version, and it's pretty good too. Costuming's much better than Meryl Streep, for sure. Wow. But okay. Yeah, I liked it.
Good.
Okay, to wrap up here, we have some listener questions and feedback. As always, you can email us at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com, tweet us at GFStorybrooke, Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke, and the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. Also, if you want to, you know, before we do the What If episode, mm-hmm. I'll go ahead and just throw that episode out there. What if X character became the Dark One instead?
Yes.
Why don't you send us your ideas out for a what if on that, and we'll read those as feedback for the what if episode.
Totally.
But you want to go ahead and read our first letter, which is from Patty, who's in the chat room.
I would just like to point out, yes, she said 15 cows as white as milk and 15 out of 15 of Bill and Anne Marie sing for the episode as a whole. Thank you, Patty. You're ever so kind. And so we'll never get a musical episode of Once, but at least we got one of Greetings.
Yay.
You know this isn't the last one of Greetings. We Cheers. Tend to sing too much.
And on the steps of the palace.
That's why I picked that one for your wine tonight. Okay, Patty. After Bill verified that fan mail could be answered this week, I decided to call in and give a thought on Galavan and Into the Woods. Like Once, these shows were shown to redefine the genre of medieval fairy tale by showing us what we know and adding a twist. In the film Into the Woods, we do see the character get their happy ending and its aftermath. Despite the fact that the character did get what they want, we learn the new problems have arose after the previous problems have been resolved, which is something similar we ironically finally find in the ongoing series of Galavant, where despite the fact Madalena chose fame and fortune instead of love, we also get a year later much to surprise of no one, that their marriage isn't a happy one, which making us excited, since I am hoping at some point the king will find out about her infidelity and she will be executed for adultery. Wow. Which has nothing
Pretty
to do with
prediction.
The character. I could see that. Back in the day, there was no such thing as divorce, since you were more likely to get hit by a lightning pole than to get a divorce. A marriage usually ended with a death.
Well, that reminds me of, completely off topic, but I heard like this historical anecdote. I forget the king, but he found out his wife was cheating on him. So he went and had actually, you know, since we're already talking testicles this episode, but had his testicles removed, put in like into his hollowed out head and stored on a shelf in her room as like, don't do that again. Creepy stuff.
The guy?
Yeah, the guy she was cheating on the king with.
Had him killed.
Had him killed.
Had his
took
testicles
his testicles, put in a hollow, like, bowl, hollowed out head thing, and put it up on a shelf in a room. So, yeah, when you say get medieval, that's what you're talking
about. Wow.
But anyway, go on with Patty's letter.
Just
a little history lesson. I forget the name of the king, though.
I don't want to know. Okay, one doesn't have to look so far since Anne Boleyn. Sorry, I can't read. Was falsely executed in the same crime by her hubby, King Henry VIII, which is a double standard, is apparent since it was pretty obvious that Anne Boleyn may not have cheated, but Henry sure did, and no one was executing him. I think in some way the theme of choice and sacrifice is apparent, which does make it entertaining to watch, which is a thought I hope you agree with. If not, then I don't understand. No, we hate the double standard.
Yes.
It's stupid.
Very much so.
Very much. Very much.
Okay, here we have a letter from Other Anne Marie. Hi, Bill and Anne Marie.
Howdy.
And the first section is Gallivant. Oh, what a delightfully tacky show. I enjoy musical-type shows, and this one is just hilarious. It reminds me of a lot of The Princess Bride. Very much
yes.
so. Yeah, a lot of the same kind of humor. I remember Timothy Amundsen from Psych, and he is amazing in his role as the king. Yeah, agreed, Other Anne Marie. We liked him as the king. I just didn't like his song that much.
No.
He has these quirky moves which makes everything even more preposterous. All in all, I can say I will definitely keep watching this series. Now, as far as Into the Woods, I didn't know anything about the musical before watching the movie and was not familiar with the music. I like the fact that this movie kept close to the original fairy tales. I did think that they started dragging a bit with this. They started dragging a bit with the song and expected the movie to finish much earlier. There were definitely parts I liked, but the movie didn't leave a big impression with me since I forgot most of it already. I would love to hear what you guys thought of the show and the movie and how much you thought of once while watching Other Anne Marie. No, that's a good question.
We didn't really talk about that.
Yeah, it really didn't pop into my head too much, really.
It did with Gallivant. You know why? Same sense.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was like, I know that castle. Oh, look, there's someone riding on a horse by the ocean. I've seen that before.
You know, I do remember when I was watching Into the Woods, thinking about Rapunzel in comparison to the, like, the Once Upon a Time version of Rapunzel and how important Rapunzel was in Into the Woods and how unimportant Rapunzel was in Once Upon a Time.
That still bothers me.
That was actually probably my main point of contrast, probably between the two. Although, I don't know. In Chris Pine's character, I could see a little bit of like philosopher charming kind of swagger going on for sure. Okay. You want to read this one from Dawn?
Dawn. Okay. I overscrolled. Sorry. All right. I just saw both. Into the Woods was a bit much singing for me, but I really liked that it wasn't a plot I'd seen before, and I really didn't know what was going to happen. I really enjoyed Prince Charming and the Ugly Stepsisters so much. So I expected Gallivant to be some sort of cheap ripoff since it was released so close to the release of Into the Woods, but it's totally another thing. I've seen the first two episodes now, and I loved it. The right amount of singing, the right amount of camp, and I really love everything about it so far. Don Noir.
Excellent. Thank you,
love
Dawn.
It. Girl.
Yeah, and actually, I believe you were the piece of feedback that
pushed us over into doing this episode.
Into actually doing this episode. Let's see here. Let me go ahead and add this to our shot, and we'll finish up with a voicemail from Wu.
Wow. So that's what you were doing over there.
Take it away, Wu.
I've seen a lot of great fairy tale adaptations over the last few weeks. Before I saw Into the Woods, I saw Wicked for the first time on stage. Do yourself a favor if you're a fan of The Wizard of Oz, or if you're just a fan of Green musicals, get a ticket when Wicked comes to your town or comes near your town, because it is not a night wasted at all. It is one of the best musicals I've ever seen and heard. And it's also got a great message about friendship. So do yourself a favor and go see Wicked. Talking about Into the Woods, though, I had no interest in seeing Oz the Great and Powerful or Alice in Wonderland or Maleficent. I really had no interest in seeing these things, because anytime Disney adapts something that's animated that, quote unquote, they created, I feel that it loses a little bit of heart, it loses a little bit of soul from what I enjoyed originally as a child. Cinderella looks not like this. It does seem a little bit different, so I may go see Cinderella when it comes out, but I was interested in seeing Into the Woods because I saw a production of this on DVD. Bernadette Peters actually played the witch.
Yes.
I thought everybody in this cast did a phenomenal job. I thought Anna Kendrick did a really good job as Cinderella. I thought Chris Pine, who I didn't know could sing before this movie, did a wonderful job as the prince. And I love his line about who he thinks he is as a prince towards the end of his story arc. I think that was the funniest line in the whole movie. I loved Emily Blunt.
That's another thing. They cut the agony reprise.
Because
there's another version of that,
yes,
where they talk about how they're not satisfied with their current lovers anymore. And they found Snow White and I forget the other one. One of them found Snow White and the other one found another Disney princess kind of thing.
Who knows who it was?
Yeah. We'll say...
I was
there
anymore. I can't think of the guy who played Emily Blunt's husband, the baker,
James
in
Corden.
Into the Woods. I thought Little Red Riding Hood did wonderful. I thought Johnny Depp did wonderful, even though it was only a scene or two. He really captured the essence of being a sly, sly wolf. The one casting that really surprised me that I had no idea about was Tracy Ullman as Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk's mother. That really, really surprised me.
That's another.
I didn't realize that was.
That's another role in Into the Woods that's like very sought after by older actresses. Like,
you know that?
Yeah, like generally, when you have actresses and you're distributing them into the woods, you put your best person as the witch, your second best person as Baker's wife, third best person as Jack's mother. Even though she's not in it that much.
Yeah, like at all.
She's really important because she has some of the strongest vocal parts in that first opening Into the Woods section. So, and, I forgot to mention, Jack was okay.
Jack was not okay.
He was okay, and I liked his solo enough, but I didn't think it was as kind of creepy as it needed to be. Sorry, we'll go back to Woo now.
Overall, I really enjoyed this musical. I'm trying to pick my words here very carefully because I don't want to offend anybody, because AMD and Meeks know as well as I know how passionate, you know, some musical fans can be. With the exception of Les Miserables from 2013, Into the Woods was probably the best movie musical I've seen in the last 5 years. I really enjoyed it. Rob Marshall, who did Memoirs...
You know, I would agree with that, Will.
Memoirs of a Geisha and, of course, Chicago did a wonderful job finding people to orchestrate this music very, very well. It sounded fantastic. It was shot fantastic. I thought the casting for all the characters, especially Jack from Jack and the Beanstalk, who actually was the little kid in Les Miserables, did probably the best job of encapsulating all the emotions that character should convey. The only thing I could say negative, because I don't think you can be a critic without saying both positive and negative things. If you're an Into the Woods purist, which is a funny thing to say, you probably will not like this film because they do cut a lot of the meat of the second act out and they do kind of rush the ending, I noticed. But at the same time, me trying to be as unbiased as possible, if I can find the words correctly. I think cutting out most of the meat of that second act actually makes the story flow better as a movie. I could be wrong. That's just my opinion. Sorry, my voice is a little messed up. I'm getting over a sinus infection. But I hope you guys have a great show, whatever show this happens to be on. And I'll talk to you guys later. See you later, Meeks and AMD. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Episode 106, Woo, and thank you very much. I hope your sinus infection is better. You sent that. What?
It didn't sound that bad.
Well, like a few weeks ago, I think Wu sent that. So
did he?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think so. Or not a few weeks ago.
No,
I meant a few days ago.
Yeah.
Greetings from Storybrooke at gmail.com. Twitter at GFStorybrooke. The Facebook is facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke. And the voicemail number is 424-274-2352. And just remember for our What If episode coming up.
Yes.
What if X character, you pick the character, became the Dark One instead of Rumpel? That's your prompt. So
there's your task, folks.
Pull out your creative writing belts. Get it out. We'll read them all on the feedback show. Okay.
What? Okay. Actually, we have a new person that I don't know. Janita Smith. Janita? They found Snow White and Sleeping Beauty. Mm-hmm. And then Jasmine says January, chow, 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 chow. February, chow, chow, chow. Anyone?
I'm not sure.
I don't get the chow, chow.
Where can people find you online? And by the way, I thank you, Jean Dieta, Smith, for watching.
Yes.
It's always great to have new viewers. Let us know how to pronounce your name. Especially new people to correct us. Yeah, exactly.
And answer our questions immediately. You can find me on Twitter and actually Instagram too, at AMDSimone, or follow my blog stuff at CCHCblog on Twitter.
And my Twitter is at Bill Meeks. I won't say the Google Plus anymore.
Yeah.
I'll say the new Dog Boy episode is coming out here very shortly, and you can find more information about that at dogboyadventures.com. And you can follow both of us as we do our other projects. We have a new podcast coming out called Universe Box. Keep an eye on our social media for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out. First episode's next week.
And we do a podcast
about the Fox TV series Gotham. You can find at legendsofgotham.com. Okay, well, I guess that's about it, and we'll see you next week for the big What If episode with Hope and Michael Lucero. We're excited. It'll be fun. I'm so excited. It'll be awesome. It's not just like a junk commentary episode. It's like an actual episode with me.
Commentary.
Until next time.
Greetings from Storybrooke.
Into the woods.
Into the woods.
I want to go to the festival.
Home before
dark.
Lunch.
Lunch?
Ooh, lunch.
Lunch, please.